Welcome to this week's edition of LBC Connections. As we work our way through this time of teaching this morning, we'll be looking at a passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians from chapter 2, verses 1 through to 18. Dave has already noted our continuing in this series, three-dimensional discipleship, with today's topic being submission. Thanks, Dave and the team, for their commitment and continuing support of LBC Connections as they and the other worship leaders lead us and draw us into God's presence and bless us with their gifts. Three-dimensional discipleship is considering spiritual disciplines, that is, practices which lead us and draw us into a closer relationship with God. The first dimension that we've looked at was the inward disciplines, which help shape and transform our heart and mind for the things of God. We considered meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. And none of these are that outrageous. Perhaps meditation is a little confronting because of its association with Eastern religions and New Age practices. However, if you frame meditation as dwelling, contemplating, absorbing, or bathing in God's word, surely this is something we can grasp, and hopefully this is something that we can all practice. I note that fasting, although not necessarily something we do regularly or at all, but I think its biblical foundations are well known. The second sphere, the second dimension of this series, looks at the outward disciplines. That is, as a result of our encounter with God and following Jesus in and through the power of His Holy Spirit, the way we live is being transformed to live simply for Him. One agenda, pleasing God in all we do and say. And this becomes evident in the way we live. We considered the discipline of solitude, that is, an ever-deepening thirst to be in God's presence. There are two more to come in this second discipline, in this second dimension. And then the third dimension, as we continue to encounter God and our life is being transformed visibly, there is also an element of community disciplines, which we will also consider in the weeks ahead. None of these disciplines are that difficult to comprehend. And to some degree, I'm confident we can come and learn to practice them. However, today's topic is probably one which is less appealing, perhaps in some way politically incorrect. A discipline which calls us to submit sounds unpalatable, as the word in many ways has brutal connotations associated with it. Submission is all too often associated with abuse, and unfortunately, not only has the world coupled these two together, so too has the church. Consequently, I think it is probably one of the more difficult of the spiritual disciplines to discuss and potentially equally difficult to adopt as part of our pattern of life and faith. In reality, we live in a society, a culture shaped by individualism, and rights of the individual are also a prominent influence and feature of our society. That's not to say either of these influences in and of themselves are unjustified. Human rights are of the utmost importance, and we should never shy away from advocating for them. So too is the individual. We are unique, and our uniqueness is a gift from God, and we should celebrate it. However, despite the bad press and despite the possibility of some reflex which may cause us to recoil from this discipline, I ask you to prayerfully consider it. It may surprise you that submission actually offers freedom. Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, writes, "I said every discipline has its corresponding freedom. What freedom corresponds to submission? It is the ability to lay down the terrible burden of always needing to get our own way, the obsession to demand the things go the way we want them to go is one of the greatest bondages in human society today. People will spend weeks, months, even years in perpetual stew because one little thing did not go the way they wished. They will fuss and fume. They will act as if their very life hangs on it. They may even get an ulcer from it. Foster adds a little more around the nature and destructive impact of living a life without submission. And he concludes, only in submission are we enabled to bring this stubborn and unyielding spirit to a place where it no longer controls us. Only submission can set us free sufficiently to enable us to distinguish genuine issues and stubborn self-will. The way of the cross is a way of life which is framed in submission. We surrender our lives to Christ, to his teachings, to the kingdom ethics and morality. Each of these are seen in the way we live. A life governed, a life directed by submission to God, his will, not ours, will influence the way we speak, the things we do, the places we go, the way we invest our time and our money, and so on and so on. Every facet of our life will be transformed. Next week, we'll open the lid on the topic of service as a spiritual discipline. Submission and service work in close quarters with each other. It's hard to speak of one without the other. So today, apart from this, all I will say in this regard is submission will impact. Submission will influence the way and the why we serve. There is something about following Jesus which demands of us a voluntary submission and servanthood. For example, Jesus in Mark 8:34 says, following me means a denial of self. In Mark 9:35, first will be last, and we are to be a servant to all. As we move through now, we find that in the letter that Paul writes to the Philippians, Paul uses the example in this passage that we will look at shortly to teach the Philippians. And Paul's words have not lost their meaning and speak to us today. We see in writing to the Philippians, Paul draws on their long-standing friendship and their unity that they have in Christ. Paul writes to thank them, to encourage them, and to direct them to grow in their faith in the midst of trials. And because of their common bond in Christ, it will be evident in their relationship with one another. And their suffering and unity will be a witness of the gospel. The section of the letter that we're going to be looking at is closely related to chapter 1, verses 27 through to 30. In those verses, Paul, in verse 27, exhorts them to live in a manner worthy of the gospel. And then we see how Paul's exhortation in chapter 1, verse 27 starts to play out in the words, the first 18 verses of chapter 2. Paul writes, and these words start in chapter 2 of Philippians, verses 1 to 2. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and one purpose. As I said in the closing verses of chapter 1, Paul appealed for steadfastness in the face of oppression and unity based on their common life in Christ. He appeals to Christ's example to support his words and draws on their mutual experience of suffering. Here in these opening verses of chapter 2, Paul's opening questions need no real answer. Yes, 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 he is comfort, he is peace, and so on as Paul has challenged them. And he implores them to seek the unity that they have in Christ and God through the Spirit, making every effort to do so. He then goes on to say, don't be selfish in verse 3. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. In these verses, Paul directs his attention to particular issues of selfishness and pride, lack of humility, lack of love or concern. Verse 4 summarizes and emphasizes the concerns of verse 3 and stands in stark contrast to the portrait Paul paints of Jesus' actions in the coming verses. In verse 5, he says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Despite his divine nature, in obedience to the Father's will, there was no sense of selfishness, no sense of stubbornness, freely, willingly submitting himself. None of what Paul writes devalues Christ's eternal divine nature. In his humanity, he remained fully divine. In his actions, we see God's love at work as he submits himself as he commits himself to conquer all of sinful humanity in order that we might be saved. And in verse 9, Paul writes, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These verses draw on images from Isaiah 45. Yahweh is seen as the only God, the one who offers salvation to all creation. Lord is equivalent to Yahweh. It's not so much a lifting above, but a recognition of what was already true of Jesus. The image of God's self-sacrifice is surrender and submission. This is a model of life Paul calls the Philippians to emulate, and in exhortation, these things ring true for us today. In the closing verses of this passage, Paul writes in verse 12, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life, then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. We find in these final words of encouragement and words of direction. Live as children of God. Do not let go of the gospel. Allow it to continue to transform and direct your lives as you live and worship together in harmony. God has not abandoned them to achieve this for his own. He gives them the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Paul concludes his section with a personal touch on drawing on their long relationship. He prays for them that they will continue in the faith, and here he reminds them of their foundations in faith coming through the ministry of Paul. He rejoices in that and spurs them on. Submission to God affects our relationship to Him, to each other, our family, our neighbour, and our community. As we consider this, I ask the question, is your life freely surrendered? Is your life freely submitted and open to God's good and gracious will for you and for us? Let me pray. Father God, we've come into your presence and we've seen the image of Christ who willingly gave his life in submission for the Father's will. We know that Paul draws on this image and he compels the Philippians to have an image of this same nature in them, that they might submit themselves to Christ and in doing so, submit themselves to one another. Father, may we have this same sense of call of submission, that we might be set free to worship you, that we might be set free to have our lives transformed and realigned according to your will, your way, your standards, your morality. That others might see in us a hope, a light, which goes beyond their understanding, that they too might encounter the truth of the gospel in us as we live lives in submission to you. So, Father, we ask your blessing upon us as we go into this week. Keep us safe as we keep our hearts and minds fixed on you. Father, help us to joyfully work in accordance with your will for our lives each and every day. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.